Okay, Shalom Aleichem, good evening, everybody. So we began last week, Hilchos Bishul. So before we I try to pick up on more or less where we left off, I just want to go to one or two very basic, like, background points on the Melach of Bishul. And then we'll try to get back to around where we were. And first of all, the Malach of Bishul is different than other Malachos on Shabbos, in the sense that to be chayev, when you do a Malacha, you have to be very proactive, meaning you have to do the Maisa, like, let's say, sewing meaning with a tofer. You have to sew two stitches. It means you take a needle and thread, and you sew two stitches, combining two pieces of material together. That's malacha. Or a kosev. You take a pen or another form of writing implement, and you write two letters. You did the malacha. Erasing, you erase the letters. By Bishul, it's almost like you're not doing the malacha. What's the malacha? The malacha is, we said last week, changing the food from raw food to being cooked. Either a liquid, getting it from cold to yatsa, lettuce boat, or by a solid food, getting it from not edible to being somewhat edible, partially edible. Edible idei hadchak, which are called maichel ben drusai. Edible enough that a person would eat it if in a pinch. That's the malacha. So who's doing that? All you could do is put the food on the fire. You put the food on the fire, and then the fire cooks it. You don't cook the food. That's called cooking, of course, but I'm saying, niggers say, I'm cooking dinner. Yeah, what are you doing? You're putting the food on the fire. But the fire did it, as opposed to, like, by anything else, by all the other malachas, you're more directly involved. By korea, by ripping, you're taking your hands and ripping the two things. Or by almost by any of the other malachas, you're doing the malacha, by most of them at least, you're doing the malacha directly. Whereas here, you're just putting the food on the fire, and the fire is cooking it. It's almost like grumma. Grumma means that I'm causing it to happen. I'm causing it to cook, right? But the fire cooked it. But that's the Torah's mechayev, right? Yet the Torah said, yes, that is a malacha. You put the food, you expose the food to a fire, and it gets cooked. That's bishul. You're chayev like any other malacha. Okay, so now, two points. So first of all, what happens if you put it there towards the end of Shabbos, and it doesn't actually cook, meaning it doesn't actually reach the stage that we call cooking, let's say by solid food, we said it has to become at least a third cooked, at least edible, ayidei adchak. Let's say it takes till after Shabbos for that to happen. Am I chayev? I did everything I would have done, if I did it 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it cooked by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, of course I'm chayev. But if I did it at 8 o'clock at night, just before Shabbos was over, I did the same exact maisa, I put it on the fire, and eventually it reached that stage of cooking, but it was only after Shabbos. Am I chayev for that? So before we answer that, so what about planting? There's a malacha planting on Shabbos, right? What's planting? You take a seed, and you put it in soil, and it grows. Now, it doesn't grow on Shabbos. I mean, right? It takes a while for it to germinate, but it takes a while for something to grow. But they're for sure yechayev. If a person puts a seed in the soil and it grows eventually, he's chayev. By Bishul, it's a machlokas achronim. The Rishash says it's the same thing as planting. Same thing here. You put it up to cook. Even though it doesn't actually cook on Shabbos, as long as eventually it cooks. If you get lucky and it never cooks, then you're not chayev. Like, even if you put it up to cook, and then somebody else sees what you did, and he goes and takes it off the fire, then you're not going to be chayev. You did an aveira, of course. I mean, you did the wrong thing, but you wouldn't be chayev for chol Shabbos. You wouldn't have to bring a carbon chatas. Even shogi, a person wouldn't be chayev misa if he did it amazing. Somebody saved his life. In fact, there's a whole sugi at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. If a person put bread into the oven to bake on Shabbos, the way they used to bake in the ovens is they would, like, basically plaster the dough against the wall of the oven. And to remove it had to be scraped off. And normally it's usher to scrape it off on Shabbos. But the question is, if, let's say, Reuven went ahead on Shabbos itself and he put raw dough into the oven, And if it just stays there, it's going to bake, and he's going to be chayav misa. So is a shayla in Gemara, is somebody else allowed to take it out to save him from being chayav misa? Because normally taking it out of the oven is usher. It's usher to meet the rabbanan. But it's usher to do it on Shabbos. It's usher to take the raw dough out of the oven. But here, if you don't do it, Reuven's going to be chayav misa. It's a shayla in Gemara. Should I do a small avera to save him from a big avera? Okay, but any point is, what I'm saying is, if somebody stops, if you stop it, or somebody else stops it before it cooks, you put the, but let's say nobody stops it, and it eventually cooks. So the Rishash says, even if it only cooks at night, by the time it cooks, Shabbos is over, you're still chayev, because you did anything you have to do. But the Minchas Chinuch argues and says, no, that's only true by something like planting, where it's got to be that way, because things never grow in one day. It always takes time. So obviously, if the Torah said you planting is a malacha, obviously it's a malacha, even though it only grows after Shabbos. But by Bishul, you know, very often, usually it's going to cook within that day. I mean, it doesn't take that long to cook things. So the Menachas Chinuch says by Bishul, it has to cook on Shabbos. If it cooks, if it only cooks after Shabbos, you're not chayiv. Okay. Now, there's one other point I want to bring, and that is the Gemara says in Maseches Beitzah the following. We know that the avera of cooking, even min haTorah, is being involved in any stage of the cooking. Meaning, if let's say somebody puts something up to cook, and even if you just leave it there, it eventually will cook. But somebody else comes along and stirs it, or does something else to speed up the cooking. Let's say you put an uncovered pot on the fire, and it will cook. It'll take an hour to get to a point that's called, for the chicken to reach the point where it's, you know, edible enough to be called cooking, it'll take an hour this way. Somebody else goes over and puts a cover in the pot, and now it'll cook in, take a half hour instead. Still, he reduced the cooking time in half because you put a cover in the pot, it cooks much quicker. So the Gemara says in Beitzah, they're both chayiv. They're both considered Mechal Shabbos Daraisa. The first guy, because he put the pot of food on the fire in the way that it'll cook. Even if nobody else touches, if you don't, never touches, put it and walk away, it's going to cook. It'll take an hour or whatever, but it'll cook. Let's say it'll cook on Shabbos. You know, he did it 2 in the afternoon. By 3 in the afternoon, it'll be cooked. So he's chayiv. But the person who put the cover on, or the person who stirred it, the Gemara says, is also chayiv. Because he was Mekariv the Bishul. He hastened the Bishul. He sped up the Bishul. And he made it happen quicker. That's what the Gemara says. So the Sefer Afike Yam, one of the great Gedolim from Mira, asks, so if that happens, and the second guy does what he does to speed it up, so why is the first guy chayiv? It ended up that the cooking happened at the hands of the second guy. Right? The second guy really did it. So let's say a person puts it on the fire, and it's going to cook, but he walks away, and somebody else takes it off and puts it on a different fire. So then for sure, the first guy is off the hook, and the second guy is chayiv, right? Because the second guy undid what Reuven did. Reuven put it up to cook, but Shimon came along and took it off. Now it's not going to cook. Then Shimon foolishly went ahead and put it down even on the same fire. But he undid Reuven's maisa. Right now it's not going to cook. So Reuven's maisa is geendik. It's over. And Reuven was saved, was spared. Now Shimon puts it back down on the fire himself. So Shimon's going to be chayv, not Reuven. Right? That's pasha.
In the first case, he's just speeding it up.
Okay, but Lemaisa, the second guy is definitely chayv, right, for speeding up, because he brought it to...
The second guy,
right.
The first guy would be... Well,
no, so the Gemara says they're both chayiv.
Even in the second case.
Even in the case of...
Even where Shimon took the pot off the fire and put it in a different fire.
No, so then the first guy's putter. First guy's off the hook.
But
in the first case, where the first guy put it on the fire and the second guy just came along and stirred it or covered the pot or whatever, or he raised the flame, so now it cooks quicker. So the second guy, before, he's being chayiv for raising the flame. That's a different blach of kindling. But he's chayiv for cooking. But the first guy is also chayiv.
Because the same time also, I mean, even though he wouldn't have, it would have been a half hour later for him, he gets chayiv when it's raised.
Well, the second guy is, I mean, they're both only chayiv bishul when it actually cooks. The second guy, if he actually raised the flame, so he's chayiv for kindling, for havarav. That's separate. It's a separate malacha. It's a separate chayiv, right? But the chayiv of bishul, right? The chayiv of bishul, he only comes when it cooks. So when it cooks, when it reaches a third cook, They're both chayiv. So ask the Frekta Afikayam, why is the first guy chayiv? The second guy took over, and he. And I mean, Reuven did a maisa which would have been bishul, but just like if Shimon would have taken the pot off and put it back on, Reuven would be off the hook because Shimon undid it, and Shimon undid it and took over. He took over the chiyuv, and Reuven's off the hook. So even if Shimon doesn't take it off the fire, but he speeds up the cooking by stirring it or by covering it, why don't we also say Reuven's off the hook? Reuven's maisa ended up not being a critical maisa. Yeah.
He didn't undo it.
He said he.
In the first case, he didn't undo the mice in the first
right,
time.
Okay.
That's why he's chayav.
But
in the second case, he undid the whole mice.
So what would be? Let's say there's an averish on Shabbos of let's talk about breaking something. Breaking something like this, I'm sure it's the rice. Yeah, stira. Let's say, soser, right? Breaking down a building, even. Like breaking a building, right? So let's say a person takes a big heavy stone and he throws it at a building, and it's definitely going to smash the window, it's going to break part of the building, and it can be chayav. And before it does, though, somebody else doesn't touch his stone, he just goes ahead and knocks the building himself with a club and knocks it down. So is the first guy chayev? Well, you say yeah, because there by breaking it, so the first guy's rock ended up not breaking it, right? The first guy didn't break it. Right, he undid it by doing it himself. He didn't touch the first guy's rock, but he broke it himself. Okay, so essentially that, I think what you say, the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak essentially answers like what you're answering, that since the whole malacha of Bishul is just, anyway, just grama, the whole malacha is you put it on the fire and you walk away and it cooks. So as long as this nobody undoes it, like you're saying, as long as nobody undoes your maisa, the fact that he speeds it up, he hastens it, that doesn't exempt you. That doesn't exonerate you. You still did what you did. You put it in a way that it'll cook, and it did cook. It cooked quick. It cooked quicker because he raised the fire, raised the flame, or because he stirred it, because he covered it. So he also schayev for being mekarev the bishul, for hastening the bishul. But as long as your mice though ended up, it did cook as a result of your putting it on the flame. So as long as it cooked as a result of your putting it on the flame, you're chayev for bishul, and the other guy is chayev because he said he's mekarev the bishul. So in that case, they both be chayev. Whereas if the second guy, like you said, undid the first guy's maisa and then did it himself, so then only the second guy would be chayev. Okay, this is a little background. I mostly wanted to bring this out to highlight this point that the malacha of bishul is essentially grama. It's something which, if not for the Torah saying you're chayev, If we probably would have said, you're not chayiv cooking in Shabbos because you can't cook. All you could do is cause cooking to happen. We call it cooking in our language, but you can't cook anything. Fire cooks. You don't cook. You just expose it to the fire. So normally that would be grama. Let's say there's a rock flying through the air, and I see it's about to land here, so I put a glass there. And the glass smashes it. I mean, the rock smashes the glass. So I don't think I'd be chayiv on Shabbos for being sosa the keli. I might have to pay in mamonis. I might be chayiv because, you know, that might be called garmi. But on Shabbos, I probably wouldn't be chayiv for that. But okay, but by bishul, you're chayiv for that. Okay, we'll just look back. Now, let's go back to what we were. Okay, let's go back to what we were. Where we were last week. So last week we said that if you cook something, a solid food, to the point of Michael Ben Jusoy, to the point where it's machlok, that means a third cook or a half cook, but it means it's somewhat edible, not geschmack, but it's somewhat edible. A person would eat it if in a pinch. So he's chayiv for cooking. Now, so the shaila is, what happens though if then you take food that's already at that stage? Let's say I take food that's already cooked to Michael Ben Jusoy. And I cook it further. Like I take this piece of meat that before Shabbos was partially cooked, but it's not fully cooked. It's not fully cooked is defined as you would serve it to a guest. Most people would eat it that way. When's a piece of meat fully cooked? when is a potato fully cooked? Potatoes you can cook, you know, there's so many stages, right? You can cook, a potato starts off rock hard, and then you cook it for a while, it gets softer, and so the longer you cook it, the softer it gets. And so at what point is it called bishul kol sarko? Is it called fully cooked? So the answer is at the point where most people would consider this to be edible lechatchila. It's the point where, yes, this most people would want to eat it this way. I would serve it to a company this way without hesitation. And it's no gay, for example, a chalent, right? We're not going into all the laws now of chazar, of taking something off the fire or the blech and putting it back, but we will get to that, but not right now. But in one of the prime basic laws, in order to be able to put it back, it has to be fully cooked. If you put up a chalent an hour before Shabbos, or 2 hours even, and the beans are still quite hard, and even the potatoes, they're not, you could eat them, but they're not really the way you want to serve it. So you're not allowed to put that chalent back on the fire on Shabbos once you took it off. Or even if you didn't take it off the fire, let's say the cover got knocked off by mistake. You put up a chalent pot on the stovetop, and you had next to it your soup, on a blech, let's say, and you had your soup pot next to it, and when you were taking off your soup pot, by accident, you knocked into the chalent pot, and the cover of the chalent pot fell off, or even fall off totally, got partially knocked off. So the chalent pot is only 80% covered now. And so now the chalent's not going to cook as well, right? Because there's 20% of it is exposed. So what I would like to do is push the cover back on. But if the chalent is not ready to serve, I can't do that. If the chalent is not ready to serve, so then the food is called, it's not mavushal kol sarko, and I'm not allowed to do that. Because by putting the cover on, I will now be mikariv es bishulo. I will be bringing about some additional form of bishul, which would not occur without me. And this is the point I'm getting to. And that is that even if something is Michael ben Drusoy, it's at the stage where it's partially cooked, and you could eat it in a pinch. So that, as I said, the person who, if a person brought it to that stage on Shabbos, he'd be chayav for Chil Shabbos. But yet, if you take food that's at that stage and you cook it further, and let's just to make it simple, you complete the cooking, right? You bring it from half cooked to 100% cooked. So that's a machlok. It's a machlokas rishonim. It's a big machlokas rishonim. Are you chayav for that or not? Many rishonim actually say you're not. There are many rishonim who say that once it's at Michael ben Drusoy, then there's no mochiyah for cooking. At least in the Torah, there's no mochiyah for cooking. because it's already it reached what the Torah defines as cooked, not fully cooked, but cooked enough to be called mavushal.
So following those opinions, a person could put it back as ara with a crock pot that it's not fully cooked.
Yes, that's what at least in the Torah. But yes, that's what would come out. Now. Wait a second. Yeah, and the Bir Halacha lists on that side that says that once it's Meicher ben Drusoy, there's no more Isser of cooking. He lists tremendous Rishon, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba, the Rush, and the Ran, the Meiri. I mean, these are the great, you know, you say Bali Halacha, Bali Torah of the Rishonim that we have, and. And they hold that once it's Meicher ben Drusoy, there's no more Issa cooking. However, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is not like that. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Shita of the Rambam, which the Mishneh Berurah then, the Bir Halacha goes and shows it's not just the Rambam. There are many other Rishonim who hold like this Rambam as well. There are Zarua and the Riva and others hold it. It brings a number of other Rishonim that hold this way. That even though it's already Meicher ben Drusoy, if you cause it then to cook fully, you're chayiv for cooking on Shabbos. So you could be chayiv two ways. Reuven cooked it to Meicher ben Drusoy, and then he took it off the fire. It's chayiv. I'm chayiv chil Shabbos, chayiv if he did it on purpose, chayiv karis. And Shimon goes and takes it and says, this is not Gishmai, I don't want to eat it like this. And he takes it and puts it back on the fire, or on a different fire, and brings it to fully cook. He's also chayiv. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that until something is fully cooked, there's still an iser bishul on Shabbos. Now, so that's by solid food. What about by liquids, by a mashke? So by a mashke, we said that the first stage of cooking is Yad Soledes, but when it gets to a temperature of Yad Soledes, which we define, L'chumra would be even, let's say, 110 degrees Fahrenheit. L'chumra, that's already called Yad Soledes, but you're only chayiv for cooking if you bring it to that temperature. But so what happens after that? What happens if you then take water that's at that stage already and you heat it up more? So that's the shaila in the post.
Yeah.
So this is the lower shear. That's the lower shear, but yeah. So
110 is the lowest.
Yeah, 110. It's not that hot. Yeah, it's lettuce, but yeah, the higher.
Florida
way. I thought it was lower.
No, I mean, if you show me someone says lower than 110, 110 is. It's just. Yeah, certainly better. Yes, yes. The upper edge is 160. It's very much right. It's 160. At least according to Rav Meshach. Okay. So so the shaila is by let's say by water. What's called fully cooked by water? By solid food, we said when you would serve it to a guest, most people would eat it. What about by liquid? So this is a big machlokas poskim. There are three sheaths. Rav Moshe in one shufa says yad soledes bo is fully cooked. That by water once is yad soledes bo. That's it. It's considered a bush called sarka. That's what he says in one place, in one shufa. Others go to the other extreme and say only when it boils. It's not considered fully cooked until you actually bring it to the boiling point, 212, which is the highest you can get water, right, after that starts to evaporate. And then there's a middle shita that says, no, it does. You don't have to bring it to 212 because nobody drinks anything at 212. And even a person who wants to heat up a cup of tea, let's say, heat up water for tea, even though you say, well, he doesn't necessarily just heat it to the point where he's ready to drink it. He makes it hotter than he wants to drink it at, so that it could cool down a little bit and still be drinkable. And while he's drinking it, it doesn't get too cool. But the highest normal temperature person would be somewhere around, let's say, approximately 190, somewhere around that. I think if you look at these hot water things, right, that they have, they're not so popular anymore. But they used to have by sinks. Some people would have a hot water tap for hot water. You could drink, make a coffee or tea, and it was 190 degrees. Right, that's what it was, 190 degrees, because that's considered quite. Nobody drinks it at 190. At least most people don't, unless maybe have iron lungs. But but people would perhaps want it to heat it up that way, and then make their coffee, and then let it cool down a little bit. So some say it that's called Mufushik Ol Tzarko. It's like in between. So certainly, according to the second two opinions, if you heat it up past Yad Soledes Bo on Shabbos, you can still be chayiv. You can still be chayiv for bringing it to a further stage of Bishul, to Bishul called Tzarko. Okay. Now, the question is, that we're to address now, is what happens if something was already fully cooked, let's say before Shabbos, and it cooled off. It was fully cooked, and now it's cooled down. Is there an Isser Bishul to reheat it? And we can ask the question by a solid food. You had a piece of meat. You cooked the piece of meat. You boiled it in the, let's say you boiled a chopped meat and made until it was completely ready to eat. And then you took it out, took it off the fire, and now it's Shabbos and it's completely cold. Maybe it was even in the refrigerator.
It's fully cooked already?
Fully cooked, but it's completely cold now. Or a potato, or a piece of chicken, which was, let's see, just stick with boiled. I want to say mam bishul mamish. You boiled a piece of chicken before Shabbos, and then you took it off the fire. It was in the refrigerator. It's completely cooked, but it's cold. Is it usser to reheat it on Shabbos? Now, it's for sure usser to put it back on the fire. But again, those are dinim derabbanan, that you're not allowed to put something that was off the fire onto the fire unless you meet certain conditions of chazara, taking it off, putting it back on certain conditions, which is a topic for a different time. But I don't mean on the fire. I mean like this. Let's say you have a pot of pot of soup, which you took off of the fire on Shabbos. You took off the pot of soup off of the fire, but it's still burning hot. This pot of soup is very, very hot. And I have this chicken that I cooked before Shabbos. Could I put the piece of chicken into the soup and let it heat up in the soup? And let it, it's completely cooked. Am I allowed to put it into this pot of soup? Or if I have some potatoes that were boiled before Shabbos, and or have some other food like that, could I put them into the soup once the soup is off the flame? Could I put them into the soup to reheat them and eat them that way? That's one shaila. And the shaila says, what about by liquids? A liquid which was completely cooked before Shabbos, whichever sheet you want to go with, let's say just for simplicity's sake, it was boiled water. The water was boiled before Shabbos, 212, and now it's cooled off. Am I allowed to reheat that water on Shabbos? Am I allowed to expose that water to heat, either put it like next to something hot, which would bring it up to Yad Soleil, bring it up to 110? Or to actually mix that water, can I pour that water into my soup? I look at my soup pot and I say, I don't have enough soup to go around, or the soup is too thick, or I made some concoction in a pot, and I have it in the original pot, Kli Rishon, the original pot, and very hot, and I want to water it down. It's too thick, so I want to add some cold water. So I know I can't add cold water from the tap. We mentioned last week that if you add uncooked food or drink into a pot of hot liquid, even if it's off the fire, a pot of hot liquid which is very hot, and I put in cold water from the tap, that's absolutely bishul. That's chi of gomer. It's a complete violation of Shabbos, because even though it's not on the fire, but putting it into a kli rishon, putting it into a kli that was heated on the fire, we said last week anything that was heated on the fire, it's usher to cook things in that. So for sure I can't add cold water from the tap. But let's say I have cold water which I cooked before Shabbos. It was completely cooked and it's cooled off. Now it's cold. Now it's room temperature, or even less than room temperature, colder than room temperature. Could I put that into the pot of soup? So that's a shail of bishul achar bishul. Is there initial isser of bishul achar bishul, or is there not? Cooking something that was already cooked. So when it comes to solid food, the piece of chicken or the potatoes, the answer is unequivocally, no problem. Ain bishul achar bishul. There is no isser of bishul achar bishul once the food was fully cooked, even though it cooled down. But it's cooked. It didn't lose its cooking. It lost its heat. But by a solid food, it's not all about heat. The heat has to make a change in the food. So it did. This meatball, I boiled this meat before Shabbos. This meatball is now completely edible, and I want to put it into the pot of soup and serve it that way. Or I want to put this piece of chicken into the pot of soup, which is off the fire. It's mutter to do that. There's no problem. Even though the soup is burning hot, it just came straight off the fire. It's burning hot soup. I could take the soup, the chicken, the dry piece of chicken, which is completely cooked, out of the refrigerator and put it into the pot of soup, which is sitting on my counter. No problem. It's going to get hot, very hot. Perfectly okay. It's getting more than Yad Soleil, but perfectly okay because it's completely cooked already. So that's for sure. Everyone agrees to that. There's no isser of bishul achar bishul by salad. But what? But by
the chicken was cooked in liquid.
In water, yeah. That's what I'm
saying. It wasn't broiled.
No, they're starting easy. We'll get it. It was boiled chicken. Boiled chicken, yeah. Boiled meatball, boiled potatoes.
If you broil it changes a lot.
Yeah, it'll be different. The halacha will be different. If it was broiled or roasted, it'll be different, as we'll see, Bishop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. There's no clock.
It's a long
You know, there's in the book, the shul without a clock, so that's great. Okay, all right. So that's, okay. Now, well, again, but now when it comes to a liquid, to reheat a liquid, by a liquid, one could argue the whole cooking is just the fact that it's hot. You heated it up. Once it's cold, so really what's the difference between the tap water, straight from the tap, and the water that was boiled to 212, but now it's been sitting in the refrigerator. I picture, you know, water in the refrigerator, and it's cold. It's completely cold. It's as cold as the tap water, or colder. So what's the difference? Why should, if everyone agrees that there would be usher to put the tap water into the pot of soup, that would be an isser bishul. So one could argue, well, the water that was previously boiled, but now it's completely cooled off, should also be usher. And that's what some rishonim say. Some rishonim say that by liquid, there is an isser of bishul achar bishul. And you cannot reheat it. If you put the liquid into a kli rishon like this, or if you expose the liquid to fire, then you're over an isser bishul. Isser bishul achar bishul. Okay. However, there's another widely held shita in Rishonim that even by liquids, ein bishul achar bishul. Once it was completely cooked, as I said, for argument's sake, we'll go with the extreme sheet that was boiled. Then after that, even if it cooled off, there's no issa to reheat it. Again, you can't put it on the fire. It's a different problem. But you could reheat it. by putting it in the hot pot of soup, or by exposing, putting it next to a fire. So why would that be? I mean, it's completely one. So some say that Bishul, even by liquids, Bishul does more than just heat it up. Maybe it kills the bacteria, or, you know, it does. There are other accomplishments of heating up the water. And once that's done, even if it cooled off, that doesn't get lost. So reheating it, says this camp of Rishonim, is not usher, even by liquids, it's not usher. So what's the halacha l'maisa? So here we find a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Mechaber, everything we're learning, mostly, is in Simen Shin Yud Ches. The Mechaber in Simen Shin Yud Ches Siv Dalet says by liquids that there is an Isser of Bishul Achar Bishul, that there is an Isser to reheat it once it cooled off. Now, what does cooled off mean? What does cooled off mean? It was 212, so let's say it's 200 degrees. Is it usher to bring it back to 212? No. What's that?
Oh.
So that is the answer, correct. Meaning, as long as it's still Yad Soledesbo, even if it was much hotter, but as long as it's still Yad Soledesbo, and here we would take the stringent definition of Yad Soledesbo, as long as it's still 160 or above, then there's no problem. Then it's not cold that it cooled off, even if it was hotter. But as long as it's still Yad Soledesbo, then everyone agrees there's no problem, Bishlach HaBishl, because it never lost the original Bishl. But once it dipped beneath Yad Soledesbo, which for our purposes we'll say 160, once it's less than 160 Fahrenheit, then the Mechaber would hold, it's usher to reheat it on Shabbos. It's usher to bring it back up to... Let's just say it's us to reheat it. It's us to reheat it at all once it dipped beneath the Asletispo. Because there's an Isser, a Bishul, Achabishul. That's what the Mechaber passes. The Ramah, however, later in Sif Tezvav, in Simen Shin Yuches Sif Tezvav, says, well, this is a Shaila, and the Minog is, says the Ramah, to be Makel, that you could reheat something, even if it got even a liquid, even if it got down to lower than Yad Soledesbo, as long as it didn't cool off entirely, as long as it's low nitzanin legamre, it didn't become entirely cold, there's some heat or warmth left to it, then you're allowed to reheat it. So in this shita, the Achronim are a little puzzled. Well, what does the Ramah hold? I mean, what kind of shita is that? If you agree to the Mechaber that Yesh Bishlach HaBishl, so it's not good enough that it's still a little bit hot, a little bit warm, it should have to be Yad Soledesbo. Because once it's less than Yad Soledesbo, it lost its status of Mevushal. So why would the Ramah be Mekel? So you say, okay, maybe the Ramah holds, no, Ein Bishlach HaBishl, just like by a solid, same thing is true by a liquid. He's paskening like the Rishonim that say, Ein Bishlach HaBishl. So it's Ein Bishlach HaBishl, so why does he say, as long as it's not completely cold, what's the difference? I told you could take the chicken out of the refrigerator and put it into the pot of soup on the counter. So why can't, if you hold Ein Bishlach HaBishl by liquids as well, so why can't you reheat it and pour it into the soup pot even if it's completely cold? What is the Ramah holding? So this is a shayla that many Achronim address to try to explain the Ramah's position. And we'll just give you simply two camps. The camp of the Chazon Ish and the Igros Moshe, they both learn pshat in the Ramah that the Ramah holds Ein Bishlach HaBishl by liquids. Just like by solids, same thing is true by liquids, Ein Bishlach HaBishl. Really, there's no problem reheating. And really, says the Chazon Ish, Me'ikar Adin, I mean, technically, yeah, you should be able to reheat it even if it's completely cold. The reason the Ramah says the minig is to be machmir, that not to reheat it once it's completely cold, is only so people don't make a mistake. And how are you going to know if something was ever cooked or not? If it's completely cold, and you say, well, I know, I cooked it before Shabbos. Okay, but if we can allow you to reheat something that's a liquid that's completely cold, you may mistakenly heat a liquid that was never cooked. Because there's no hecker, there's no indication in this liquid here that it was ever cooked. It's completely cold now. As long as it's still somewhat hot, as long as it has some heat to it, even if it's not your Soledesbo, but then you can see, aha, it still has a remnant of the original cooking. It still has a simen, a sign saying, I was cooked. Okay, you tell, I'm still warm. I'm not hot anymore. I'm less, but I'm still warm. So as long as we limit our reheating to something that's still somewhat warm, that'll be a safeguard that we won't come to mistakenly cook things which are would never heat it up. So that's pshat in the Ramah. Again, really, says the Chazon Ish, the Ramah holds, there's no problem, even by liquid. And technically, you should be able to even reheat a liquid. As long as you know it was cooked before Shabbos, you should be able to reheat it even if it's totally cold. But in order to make sure that we don't make mistakes and end up heating up liquids that were never cooked, so the minhag is, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, the minhag is only to reheat things that were completely cooked and still have some degree of chamimus to that. So what is that level of chamimus? How hot? So some say it has to be hot enough that you would serve it to a guest like it was soup. You would serve it. A soup that's completely cold, you don't serve, unless it's fruit soup, you know. But chicken soup, it's cold, it's not worth serving. So it has to be hot enough that a person would still eat it. Not yasol at his bow, but you would still eat it as a warm soup, or hot soup, or warm soup. Or you would still drink the cup of tea. It's not piping hot, but you would still drink it. Less than yasol, you would still drink it. But less than that already, it's cold completely. Cool. Some say even a little bit lower than that. But in any case, that's the Chazon Ish Hesber. And he says the point is just as long as when Shabbos began, you know, if when Shabbos began, it was completely cooled off, then you can't reheat it because you shouldn't make a mistake. Ramosha also says, like the Chazon Ish, that the Ramah really holds that there's no Bishel Echa Bishel, but it's just a Chumrah that it has to be not completely cooled off. But I don't think he really explains why. So we'll stay with the Chazon Ish's Hesber. The other school of thought says no. Really, the Ramah holds there is an Isser by liquids. There's an Isser of Bishlach HaBishl. Once it's cooled off, you're not allowed to reheat it. It's Usser. He holds like the Machmirim, just like the Machaber holds, like I said. So if he holds like the Machmirim, then so what good is it that it's not completely cold, right? As long once it's Yasin Yatz lettuce bow, it should be Usser. So there are different ways of explaining it. The Prima Gaudim seems to say that it's like Nahagu L'Hakel. The minhag is to be Mekel, meaning there is no easily defined logical explanation to it. But that's the minhag. Meaning, really, remember, really the Rishonim that hold Ein Bishlach HaBishl. There are many Rishonim that make it all together. So says the Ramah is telling us, the way Prima Gaudim explains, the Ramah is telling us that the minhag is to be choshesh, to conduct ourselves like the machmir, miyesh b'shal chabishal, but only in a case when it's completely cooled off. That's the minhag. Chicago once explained this, that there are certain things which are minhagi Yisrael, which are not so explainable of the technical shuras hadin. Give Sir Mishalom, I don't want to go into the Mishalom right now, but certain things which if you learn the Gemara and the Poskim, you would probably come out saying that it's Usr. But there's a Minig Yisrael to be Mekel. And if there's a Minig Yisrael, then we follow that. And he said once from Rishem Rabbi Akamanetsky that Klal Yisrael is Eichet HaPaisik. Klal Yisrael is also a Paisik. And Klal Yisrael paskin that, whatever it may be, that this thing is Mutter, even though if you add up the opinions, it would seem to be weighted very heavily on the side of Chumra, but the Minig is to be Mekel. So he wanted to say, maybe that's Pshat, the people got him here, that the Minig is that even though we basically hold like the sheep is that Yesh Bishal Chabishal, but only when it's completely cool. Others explain a little bit different than this Prima Gaudim. Another has been that the Ramah is going with the sheep, Yesh Bishal Chabishal, but as it's as long as there's some heat to it, then it's not nicker that you really did anything. It's not nicker that there's a Maisa Bishal. He holds Yesh Bishal Chabishal only when it's nicker, when there's an obvious Maisa Bishal. And that's only when it cooled up. Okay, Al Kopanim, Eich Shiyeh. So it boils down, no pun intended, but it boils down to a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ravah and the Minig of Zvara, the Minig of Ashkenazim, that the way the B'nai Ashkenazim Noeg, we follow this Ramah, that if something was once heated up, as even though it's now a liquid, even though it's less than Yatz lettuce bow, there's no problem with getting it to a higher stage of heat, as long as it didn't completely cool off. So just what? Yeah.
does it make a difference for the first camp if, like, milk is already been cooked? Is there the concern that maybe you're going to come to maybe cook, you're not going to know whether it's cooked or not, but if something that, a liquid that's obviously been cooked already, are they more, is that...
Why is it obvious? Because our milk is pasteurized.
Right, I don't know. Things are coffee, whatever, like that.
Well, that's very circumstantial. It's only obvious now because we live in a, you know, from the past... as many years as we've been born, they pasteurize milk, so it gets cooked. But milk doesn't. You go to a farm, and there are people that don't pasteurize the milk, right? They have health reasons. It's healthier. It's not pasteurized. So I think the answer is no. It doesn't make a difference. That's the hezber of the Chazon Ish. Why that's the minute. But even if a specific case you feel, oh, this case I'll never make a mistake, it's not going to make a difference. So I just want to give you, if I let's see.
That's how you warm it up. Come.
Yes,
you warm it up. You can never get it, even if it's warm, you can't get it back above your blood.
What do you mean you can't?
When you're heating it up, you're not heating it up beyond the field.
Well, according to the Ramah, you're allowed to. You
are.
You
more than your blood.
Yes, as long as... How are you going to be able to do it? Like the case you poured into the pot of soup. I have a pot of soup that's 200 degrees. I just took it off the fire. It's 200 degrees. If I pour this water into it, it's going to become...
You're going to get the
liquid to your blood. More than 110? Why not? If I take 5 ounces of liquid and I have a pot of, 50 ounces, I have a soup pot, an 8 gallon soup pot, and I pour in an eight ounce of water. But I'm allowed to. Or if I put it near a fire, close enough to a fire, it's harder that way to get, but you're allowed. You're allowed, according to the law, you're allowed to do that. Yes, you are allowed to do that. According to the Mechaber, also do that. So just,
So it's fire from Ashkenazim.
We're not choshes for this mechaber, and you're bypassing the follow the sheet of the Ramah. That is better to do. So let's just end with one thing in halacha that the post can talk about. Let's say you ladled out. You made yourself a cup of hot water. You have hot water, just hot water. Some people, let's leave out coffee and tea for a minute. Just hot water. There are people that do it, and they like to drink a cup of hot water, so they have hot water in an urn, boiling hot water, and they drank it, fine. And now they want a refill. So the cup basically finished, but there's some drops in that cup, some drops of water, and they're cool. By now they're cool. They completely cooled off. Completely cooled off. So completely cooled off. He said, "Oh, you're not allowed to reheat something that's completely cooled off, even according to the Ramah, right? It's completely cooled off." But says Rav Asher Feinstein and many poskim, if it's just a few drops in the cup, there's no, there's not like an inch of water or even a fraction of an inch, just a few drops. You don't have to dry it out. You could pour water, hot water back into that. Even though those drops are going to get reheated, but since they were cooked to begin with before Shabbos, so me'ikar adin, we paskin, there's no problem of bishlach abishal. Me'ikar adin, right? We're going through Ramah, Shabbat in the Ramah. There's no problem bishlach abishal, even on Devalach. And you don't really care about those drops. They're so inconsequential. And also, I'll add a concept that we didn't discuss yet, but you're only heating it up by pouring onto it. You're not heating it up by pouring it into a Kli Rishon. You're pouring from a Kli Rishon onto it, which is a lower Madrega, as something Bez Hashem will discuss hopefully soon. So you're allowed to do that. Whereas, if the cup, you took a cup and a mug out of your cabinet, and before you use it, you rinse it out from the tap. You rinse it out, empty it, knock out the water, a few drops of water left, and you want to fill it with hot water from the urn, says Ramash, that you shouldn't do. That you shouldn't do. Because those drops of water were never cooked. It's just drops, and you don't care about them getting cooked, and it's still only Eroi, but since they were never cooked, so the Isser to cook them would be a deraisa for sure, so that you shouldn't do. He says, it's not the biggest Aveira, but better to dry out the cup first, even from the drops. Whereas, as I said, if those drops were just left over from water that was completely cooked before, where basically we hold me'ikar adin, there's ein bishlach abishal, then you wouldn't have to machbar. I think the Sfarad Mamekel on that type of case also. But this is to draw out a little bit these concepts. Okay, as Hashem, we'll pick it up next time.
Thank you.